for about 15 minutes about miracles. And the reason why I tend to, when I speak on miracles, I tend to do healings at the very beginning is primarily because we keep thinking that miracles is healing. Now, healing is healing, and miracles is something very different. Now, you could have miraculous hearing, but let's not go into the theology of that. But the key point is there's a difference between healing and miracles. Right? And what I want to talk to you about this morning is miracles. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. The sons of the prophet said to Elisha, "Look now, the place where we have lived before you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, each man get there a house beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell." And he answered, "Go." Verse 3. One said, "Please, be pleased to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." That's the first miracle. Sometimes you need people to come along with you on your journey. And this young prophet was wise enough and said, "Master, will you not come with us on this journey?" So my challenge to you this morning is sometimes you just need to ask. The miracle you need is just you need to ask. Some people you just need to go to work tomorrow and say, "Can I get a promotion?" You just need to ask. All right? Sometimes we're waiting for God to do something and God is just saying, "Will you ask?" And the Bible says, he said in verse 3, one said, "Be pleased to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." I don't know whether he wanted to go, but because he was asked, he chose to go. Amen. And so sometimes the miracle you need in your life is just you need to ask. You need to ask. Verse 4. And so he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down trees. This is normal. This is mundane. Cutting down trees for them was like you going to work and working behind a computer. But as one of them was felling his beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried, "Alas, my master, for it was borrowed." There will be trouble ahead, right? Because I borrowed an axe, I'm cutting down a tree, now the axe head has fallen into the water. And the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" When shown the place, Elisha cut off a stick, threw it in there, and the iron floated. The iron floated. So I ask you this morning, before I go on, I ask you this morning, what iron do you need to float? What iron, what impossible situation are you facing that you need a miracle of God? That's why I like separating healing from miracles, because we just get focused on the healing side, but God wants to do more. A friend of mine in America 2 weeks ago, thieves broke into her car. Stole her purse, stole her laptop, stole her passport. And she was about to travel to Rwanda. And she just messaged me and said, "This has just happened." And we said, "God, we believe you for a miracle." 3 hours later, guess what? They found everything. The thieves decided to abandon what they stole. Amazing. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes you just need to believe God in the normal for God to do the supernatural. We're so used to the normal that we miss the supernatural. So this morning, I just come to tell you, you need to believe God for your iron to float. Some people, your iron is that mortgage that you've been trying to get. Some people, is you're paying off your mortgage that you've been trying to do. It's an iron, but it can float. All you need to have is a stick. So the Bible says in verse
Verse 7, he said to him, pick it up. I'm like, why didn't the prophet pick it up for him? Because sometimes when you want a miracle, you need to activate the miracle. Right? So Elisha throws the stick into the water and the iron flows, and he said, you pick it up. You need to activate what you're believing God for by acting in faith by picking up the iron. And he put it out his hand and he took it up. Alas, it was borrowed. It's no more a problem because a miracle has just taken place. Here's the key to this passage. This is happening in the mundane. They're not in church. They're not having a service. They're not saying, I worship you, O God. They are in the mundane of life. We need to get to that place where you begin to believe God for a parking space. And miraculously, he provides one for you. If we are supernatural beings, we ought to occasionally live supernatural lives. The axe head falls into the water. It defies gravity. You know, when Elisha caught the stick, he had no doubt in his mind what was about to happen. He had no doubt. He wasn't guessing. He wasn't, let's try this out. Let's see if this works. No, he took the stick, he threw it exactly where the axe was. And he said, heaven, suspend the laws of gravity. Heaven, suspend the laws of iron floating. You know the biggest thing, the biggest miracle for me also? The Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm guessing. As the stick went into the water, it sinked and the axe floated. I don't know how that happened, but there was a divine exchange. There was a reversal, right? And we need the reversal of God. I see some students here. Sometimes you just need the reversal of God on that marking scheme, right? In that exam, you need God to just break out and then to say, oh, you know what? Actually, this year, we're going to mark it differently. Just because of you. If you believe God. Now, I'm not saying don't work hard. I'm just saying you need to be expecting God to do the supernatural. When I get to work and they said to me, oh, it's going to take you 2 years to get a pay rise. I say, I bind that. I release the miraculous provision of God in my life. Maybe you've got a sister or a brother, auntie, uncle, nephew, niece that doesn't know God. You need a supernatural intervention of God. You need a Saul of Tarsus miracle of God. And the reason why these miracles are not happening is because we're not asking for them. When they said to him, alas, master, it was borrowed. What happened? Elisha stretched forth his hand, takes a stick, causes the iron head to float. You know I could preach longer on this, right? But the point I want you to take away, get the point. The point is this. If you want a miracle, you better start asking for one. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. You know why I love preaching about miracles? No, Acts chapter 14, verse 7. Sorry. Acts 14, verse 7. You know why I like preaching about miracles? Because God desires to do them. It's like he's waiting in heaven. He's just like, I want to do a miracle. Who's asking me for a miracle? Amen. I saw your hand. Acts 14, let me read this for you. And there they continued to preach the glad tidings, the gospel. Now at Lystra, a man sat who found it impossible to use his feet, for he was crippled from birth and had never walked. Now, you want to talk about miraculous healing? This is the arena. Let me explain something to you. The Bible is trying to illustrate to you how impossible this situation is. Number one, it says, there was a man they found who found it impossible to use his feet, for he was crippled from birth. Now this baby was born without its blood vessels of his muscles being able to walk. His bones in his feet were not walking. They were not walking. So from birth, this man has never walked. It's not like somebody who had been walking, had an accident, and then got crippled. The Bible is saying it was impossible for him to use his feet. Impossible. Impossible. This is not healing. This is impossible situation. His feet are dead. Then the Bible says he had never walked. Never. So he was listening to Paul as Paul was talking. And Paul gazed intently at him and observed that he had faith to be healed. Oh. Paul observed. This morning, what do I observe from you? Do you have faith for a miracle? Do you have faith for the impossible? Do you have faith for your unbelieving husband or your unbelieving wife to come to Jesus? I just need to look at your faith and it tells me whether you do or you don't. The Bible says he had faith to be healed. He saw it on his faith that he had faith to be healed. We got healing this morning, right? Amen. Because you had faith to be healed. Let me just pick on this young lady. I was praying for this young lady. What's your name? Yeah. Pardon? Eliane. I was praying for... Kellyanne. Kellyanne. Let me get it right for the tape. Kellyanne. All right. Kellyanne. Now, I was praying for Kellyanne, and as I was praying for her, I just lifted her arm up. Right? As I lifted her arm up, she tells me afterwards that she couldn't lift that arm. So even while I was praying, she was healed. And so when I'm asking for confirmation, she's looking at me like, duh, dude. The problem's gone, because if the problem wasn't gone, you couldn't lift my shoulder up. Amen. And that's what Paul saw on this man. He had faith to be healed. And so what happens? Verse 10. He shouts at him. He says, stand erect on your feet. Stand up on your feet. You know he doesn't obey him? No. The Bible says he leaped and he walked. You know, Paul says, stand erect on your feet. Just stand up like that. No. The guy is like, dude, you don't understand. I have never walked. Now my feet are walking. You tell me to stand? I ain't standing. I'm leaping. I'm walking. I'm leaping. I'm walking. He's like, dude, Paul, you don't understand. Like, I've just been healed. My feet, the Bible says I could never walk. It was impossible for me to walk. Now you tell me to stand? I ain't got no time to stand. I want to walk. I want to leap. I want to jump. Nobody's stopping me now. Why? Because he just got a miracle. This miracle was so outstanding that the people in the temples, I mean, we don't have time to read it now, but you read it when you get home. Read the rest of the passage. The people in the temples, they went to their temples and they said, Zeus and one of the gods have come to life. Zeus and Hermes, these are not men. These cannot be men. Men do not do this type of thing. Men do not take somebody who was crippled all his life and make him walk. This is not men. These are gods come to earth. I pray that in your family, in your home, in your school, in your workplace, wherever you interact, people would say, you're not human, but you're a God. Why? Because you step out in faith. You expect God to do the unexpected. And God does what? He doesn't disappoint. He doesn't put us to shame. He shows up, and he shows up strong. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to stop preaching now. This morning, I'm just asking you, I'm begging you,
to believe God for a miracle. Something, you know, what is a miracle? A miracle is the divine intervention of God into the daily affairs of man. Divine intervention. And I wonder this morning whether you've got an area in your life where you need a divine intervention of God. Divine intervention. Not human. There's no plan. There's no backup plan. There's no get out of jail clause. There's no separate special card. The only thing that needs to take place right now is a miracle. So I'm going to get the worship team back up. I think we're going to sing Great Are You, Lord, or something, right? Miracles. 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 I'm believing God that from today, we're going to hear so many testimonies. I mean, we've already got some from healing already. But I want God to do more. I want God to go with you, go home with you. I was preaching in Mexico once, and then we had so many miracles take place. I remember when I was doing that meeting, the pastor came up to me, and before the service, he said, "Shola, I know you're a great preacher, but today is not a day of long preaching. Today is a day of miracles." And so I preached very short, and we began to pray, and we saw miracles happen. People walking off the street, getting healed. But the bit I want to tell you about is that towards the end of the service, the pastor said, "Is there anybody who's got anybody at home who is sick?" And he said, there were a few people that put their hands up. There were about 2,000 people there. And he said, "Bring a handkerchief." And they brought these handkerchiefs to the front. And we just prayed over the handkerchiefs, believing God that when they went home and laid the handkerchiefs on the children or whoever it was that was sick, they would get well. Well, there was one guy in the audience. He wasn't waiting to go home. No. He went straight to the hospital, which was around the corner, and he put the handkerchief on his little daughter. And before the end of the service, he brought his daughter home to the service and said, "Look at what God has done." What I'm saying is that you just need to have an expectation of God. That when I tell you to stand up, you don't stand up. You walk, you leap, you run around because you have had a divine encounter with the God of heaven. Amen. So what we're going to do in a second is I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and just bow your head. And I'm going to ask you to think about an impossible situation that you want God to supernaturally intervene in. As you're thinking about it, think about it. Bring it before God. Remember what I said. It's a simple task. Just ask Him. Ask Him. Ask Him in faith. Ask Him believing. Paul saw faith on this man's face. Ask God believing, ask God trusting. The Bible says, if you do not doubt in your mind, you will have what you say. What are you believing God for? Maybe it's a child that doesn't follow Jesus. Actually, just pause for a second. Pause for a second. Can we stop recording for a minute?